White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 628. That's a lot of podcasts.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the White Rocket Entertainment Network.
Bye-bye, Bo! Touchdown, Auburn!
The kick is good! Auburn wins! Shivers just ran through a man! Touchdown, Auburn!
Hello! And welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, that's us, and by people like you, the Auburn family, the AU Wishbone family. Hey, we love you, you Patreon.com family. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer, who also cannot believe we have done this so many times.
I know, it's a lot of podcasts, it's a lot, but here we are. In fact, since you say that, I've got the numbers right here. We have published 355 AU Wishbones. So the 600 is like White Rocket in general. That includes the White Rocket and Babylon 5. But 355 AU Wishbones since 2012. So we are rapidly coming up on the 10th anniversary this fall. And we have, just on the Podbean app alone, 441,864 downloads. That's a lot of downloads.
Nice.
Not bad. And it's because we have great, great listeners that are always so good at sending us questions and being patrons and listening to our show and telling people and spreading the word. And we appreciate them very much. So how are you?
I'm well. Not bad. You know, it's spring in Virginia, which means the weather is a constant roller coaster.
Yeah.
It can be 85 and hot, and then it could be 40 and rainy.
Yep. I hear you.
So and it could be 65 and so much pollen that you think you're in a yellow, you know, snowstorm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was up from late Friday night through Sunday afternoon. I was in Chicago at Windy City PulpCon, and it was supposed to be like I took my heavy coat. I wore a big heavy hoodie, you know, long jeans and everything. And that was yesterday. And today it was like 84, and tomorrow's going to be like 91 here. So it's that time of year. I mean, only yesterday did I take my some of my cold weather clothes down to the storeroom in the basement for the first time. And it's like the middle of May. So it's weird how the cold hangs on up here. I will forever be an Alabamian in terms of what I expect from the weather. You know, I expect it to be warm by now, constantly.
Well, you get that born in the South, like thin-blooded.
Man, when we were at Georgetown, back in 92, you and people were walking around in shorts and T-shirts, and I had on, like, I was all bundled up in a heavy coat and a hat, and I'm like, what's the matter with these people? I just can't stand it. So, whereas when I lived in Singapore and it was 95 degrees every day, I was just like, oh, another day in paradise, you know?
That's it.
Oh, so good. And my wife would hate that. My wife would absolutely hate it, and I was just so happy there, so, with that temperature. Well, we have a little bit of news, I guess. The transfer portal has been active. I think we're going to have a little bit of that transfer portal play in tonight because there's stuff going on.
There is, and exciting news, someone came out of the transfer portal instead of going into the transfer portal.
That's
an exciting
unusual
change of pace for us.
All right, so let's talk about it. Dazzlin Worsham, that's a great name.
It is a great name. A wide receiver.
Whoa!
A position of extreme need.
Wow.
Has transferred from Miami to Auburn.
Please clap.
Dang. So we got a four-star wide receiver that was at the University of Miami Hurricanes. That seems good.
Yes. He did not play for them.
Right.
He was a true freshman last year.
Didn't play,
but... He went to high school in Alabama. He went to Hewitt Trussville. Mm-hmm. So he knows some of the other players on Auburn's team, and Auburn knows the coaches there now. And he played with Javaris Johnson there. So, I think we probably have a pretty good scouting report on him as a player. I think Auburn probably recruited him when he went to Miami. And they, you know, it's interesting, you know, there were probably guys who were, you know, lower ranked recruits in that high school class who went somewhere to like a much smaller school and put up some numbers, but they like this kid. They think he can play. And we definitely need a wide receiver. So it's going to be interesting
to see.
That's
for sure. That's for sure. Yeah. And I don't know that wide receivers that have never played in college, whether they're freshmen or not, they don't often get a lot of play their first year.
Sure.
But just having a body in the room and at practice helps a lot, I think.
It does. And again, I like it better than taking a guy who was a marginal player but only has 1 year left. You know, this guy's a long time left at Auburn to develop and become who he could be. So,
and I'm going to put this out there. You tell me if I'm crazy or if I'm on base or off base. It seems to me, and I may be forgetting somebody really obvious and important, but it seems to me that there's no other position on the field that when we've gotten a receiver as a transfer, they've been a bust more than any other position. It seems like almost every time we get a receiver that's not a freshman, he's a bust. And sometimes it takes a couple of years, like Duke Williams. He wasn't a bust, but he kind of busted at the end. You know what I mean? He kind of like fizzled out. And all these others, wasn't there a guy Fair or something that we had that we brought in because he's supposed to be so fast a couple of years ago, and he just never did anything? And
He was at Nebraska, maybe?
Something like that. It just seems like every time we bring in a second-year, third-year, fourth-year receiver, they don't do anything. I don't know why that is. Just
that's
that
fair.
Position.
Yeah. Okay. No pun intended.
No pun intended.
We had some other transfer receivers who haven't made a big difference.
Yeah.
I don't expect a lot out of this kid this year other than being a depth piece, which is what we need. You know, somebody else that can get in the game and play 15, 20 snaps. So.
I guess Ronnie Daniels is the only one that kind of came in and didn't start as a freshman and was really good. Although maybe he was a freshman when he came in. He from baseball or whatever, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I was trying to think about other people. Were there other ones that were JUCO ones or transfers? But
yeah. No, but I mean, it just seems like all of our best receivers historically played with us from the time that they came out of high school. So, well, anyway. Well, I'm glad to have him, and he might as well have come out of high school and come straight here, as you were saying. So,
sure.
And we certainly need help. I do wonder, because that's where Mario Cristobal is, right? So,
mm-hmm.
Cristobal didn't boot him out, right? He decided he just wanted to be closer to home, new coaching staff
or
whatever.
Yeah, I think it was not the coaching staff that recruited him and wanted to go do something else.
Good. Well, I'm glad. What else we got going on, talking about news?
Well, today the NCAA came out with they're going to try to crack down on all this NIL craziness we talked about last weekend. And some of it is, you know, maybe some needed structure, but some of it is silly. They're saying they're going to go like retroactively investigate and punish people where boosters were recruiting and stuff. And it's like, okay.
Oh, A&M. They got the white glove out, A&M. Look out. That collie better hide behind the sofa.
That's again, I don't think they can do anything. I really don't. I think this is prompted by people who didn't want to organize and push NIL are seeing that they are, you know, way out of their depth in the current recruiting world, transfer world.
Yeah, a little bit.
And so they're the ones who are whining to the NCAA to come do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
So I...
Saban.
No, I think it was actually like Colorado or somebody. But my sympathy level is not incredibly high. Again, I'm not saying Auburn is the leader in the pack, but a long way from it. But you can't legally restrict players from taking this stuff. And if they've been careful about how they do this, also, like, you don't have to cooperate with the NCAA. These organizations are not part of the school, and the NCAA doesn't have any legal authority over them.
Yeah.
They have authority over the athletes. They could make them ineligible. They could fuss at the schools for the actions of these boosters. But you have to prove that the boosters were recruiting instead of engaging with people in a legal right that they have.
If I run a car lot in Tuscaloosa, having a big Alabama player advertise my car lot is going to sell me some cars. You can't prove I did it because I'm wanting Alabama to win. Well, I might just be wanting to jump on the gravy train of having a celebrity endorse my car in a town where he's a celebrity.
And perhaps you heard this guy was going to sign with Alabama anyway, so you wanted to jump on board and sign him to an NIL deal before everybody else did.
Before anybody else. Yeah, exactly. So how are you going to prove the intent there? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's not possible. And again, like, you can't say that these kids can't take the money because the courts have ruled that they can. You can't restrict them from this commerce. Everybody else has the right to do it. Every other college student has the ability to sign these deals. So you can't say the football players don't, or the basketball players don't. So they can't go down that road. So they're going to go down this thing of trying to say they're recruiting and their only coaches can recruit and all that kind of stuff. And I think the NCAA is going to get crushed in court again if they try to do something stupid. So again, instead of trying to develop some reasonable practical measures they could implement over the next couple of years, they're going to wade back in with some zero-tolerance stance and get their whipped.
Well, you addressed this last week when you were saying you couldn't say, come to this school and I'll give you money. You were saying, if you happen to be playing a sport in this town, at a school and somewhere around this town, we might have a deal for you. So it's a you know, part of it is how you couch it, right? How you lay it out for the...
That's it. The school's name is not mentioned in these contracts.
Right. Right. No. Nor should it be. Nor is there any reason for it to be. So, yeah. And if you make that clear that you're hiring them as a sponsor or whatever, I mean... Yeah, so that doesn't make a lot of sense. But I do completely understand how a lot of people would be wanting to try to crack down somehow. Because it all... I mean... We are so conditioned over all these years of players not being able to do anything, right? If you look sideways at a piece of merchandise with your name on it, oh, there went your eligibility this year, young man. Come back next year, you know. You know, remember what happened to that Georgia receiver that was so good? They had like a jersey he signed or something, and he lost like a year of playing time or something crazy?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It was ridiculous. No, again, we're so used to that this just seems wrong.
Again, there was when my younger brother was going to high school, there was a friend of his who was a player in the football team, and he occasionally came to Auburn games with us, and he would go to the cookout and stuff. But at some point, he became a recruit, like in the big picture, not like a top 100 recruit or anything, but he was a recruit. He was going to sign with a college somewhere in America. And at that point, us giving him the same hamburger was a violation.
John, your hamburgers are a violation. That should be on your... We should do an AU Wishbone cookbook, and on the cover, the blurb would be, these burgers are a violation, NCAA rule committee.
That's it.
That's good. All right. Well, I don't know when this is ever going to... I think that this is one of those subjects where it's just going to keep evolving. There's going to be There's going to be a constant effort by some people to keep trying to police it and crack down on it. And there's going to be a constant effort by some people to keep trying to expand it and make it better and easier and bigger. And there's going to be some kind of an equilibrium between the two poles, but it's going to be constantly shifting. That's how I feel.
And then the NCAA will try to crack down. They'll lose in court again. There'll be another leap forward. And so that's where we're going. Yes, you're right. There may be some attempts to corral it, and then people will find another loophole and move it forward, and that's where we're going. So.
Yeah. Yeah, well. I think it all goes back to the Dream Team in 1992 getting to play in the Olympics when they were pros, because that's the first time that we saw the love of money and spectacle trumping the purity of the rules and the game.
I think that had more to do with we were tired of losing in a sport that we actually cared about in the Olympics.
Yeah, that helped
too. And we wanted to win.
But I mean, but we basically redid the rules so that we could put the greatest basketball players ever on the court. And when you set, I don't know, but I'm just saying, it just seems silly, but when you set the precedent that you can change the fundamental rules of the sport so that people can make more money and certain people can win... And it'll be more exciting on television. I just feel like after that, think of all the changes to college football over the years since the early 90s. I mean, you know, you got the BCS and you got the playoffs and the just
conference
one thing
championship
after another.
Games.
Yeah, all that. One thing after another.
The other thing I really think, though, is like this was, you could see this coming. The NCAA could have seen this coming. They knew they were going to lose in court badly. They could have planned for a,
yeah,
you know, a more middle ground rollout with some rules and some training and some guardrails around this instead of going 100 miles an hour down the road of we're going to fight this in court when they knew they were going to get crushed and then they got annihilated in court. And there was no plan. There was no rules. There was no guardrails. It was just open season. So I think it's that. I think it's they buried their head in the sand for a long time and said, you know, complete amateurism or nothing. And now we're here. Instead of them saying, well, the NIL thing is the right way to go. It's the legally the right way to go. We should develop some rules so it doesn't get crazy. And they didn't do that. They just fought it until it bit them. And now we're here we are.
And here we are. All right. Well, any other news before we get to our other features tonight?
Well, the one five-star basketball recruit that we've been talking about.
Yeah, Julian
weeks,
whatever.
He decides on Thursday.
Ah, I was going to say, I came back from Chicago, and I thought that I must have just missed the announcement somehow, because I thought he was supposed to announce last week.
There was rumors, but it's going to be Thursday.
Okay. Yeah, every other day, something is in the news about Auburn, and every day my wife says, oh, that Auburn news, and I'm like, oh, the basketball player? She's like, no, it's something else. I'm like, it happens over and over and over. I keep thinking, oh, this is it. And she's like, no, it's not that. I'm like, ah, dang it. So, yeah, I'll be glad to get closure on that one way or the other. Obviously, we know how we want it to go. But yeah, and then, of course, if we get him, then we can call up Tennessee's basketball coach and we can say,
not for while you can, the monkey boy.
Because we would have him. Oh, I love it. I want it so bad. Speaking of the soundboard, right quick before we change gears, you know, I talked about this quite a lot a few years ago, and then it ended, and I moved on to other things. But Mira has discovered Poldark, and she is now like completely absorbed watching Poldark. Wants to watch it every night, and all I can say is
the Vulgars are full of sound and fury, but believe me, they would not dare take things further.
Well, I can only hope as you watch that show with her, which nobody else in this podcast has watched, that you find some more good sound clips.
Oh, it's such a frustrating show. But I do love Aiden Turner. I want him to be the next James Bond. He'd be awesome. He'd be awesome James Bond. All right. So, and that's a classic go-to sound clip for Alabama fans about the Vulgars. All right. So you have a thought here about future non-conference games. Talk to me and everybody else.
All right. So this is what I want to do. I was just dreaming of future non-conference games and, you know, the good ones we have. And I'm going to give you a choice, okay? Mm. We're going to do one of two things.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at the future non-conference games that Auburn has scheduled, and we're going to either work together and rank them from game you are most excited for to game you're least excited for, or we will do a draft and pick ones based on how excited we are, and like you go first, and then we go back and forth. So I'm gonna give you a choice: rank them or draft them. But the challenge is, which games are you most excited for?
I like
it. And I think we should separate the home and away game. So like Cal home and away counts as two games.
Ah.
Okay.
Oh,
so
nice.
Are you more excited to see Auburn in Berkeley?
Right. Right.
Or to see Cal come into our state?
To Jordan-Hare. And then you also had an idea about who we could play that we're not scheduled against.
Yes, I want us we've talked about this several times in the podcast. I want us to go back to this and pick one team that if you could get Alan Green to go schedule a deal with tomorrow, it would be
what. And what about if we say it can't be Notre Dame because it's always Notre Dame? I was just talking to Andy Fix, the Babylon 5 co-host, because he's a big football guy. He's an Ohio State guy, but he's really good guy. We were talking about that. I said we're like the only team that Notre Dame just has never played and won't play, and I don't know why, but we never get them. So they're kind of, let's just take them off the board. But I want to ask you this. What conference do you most want us to play teams in? Because it feels like we've been all over the ACC for years, and it feels like the last few years we've actually played the Pac-12 a lot, because we played Oregon, we've played Washington. We're going to play Cal, right? I mean, so
I feel like we played a lot of Big Ten games and bowl games.
Yeah.
Right?
So who? What conference do you most want?
So maybe the Big 12. Maybe we want to play some. We play Kansas State.
We play Kansas State.
Texas
yeah.
and Oklahoma are coming. We're going to get to play.
We're going to get them. And Missouri is already in. So that's a lot of the Big 12 that's already.
Well,
on our...
but I mean, so like Texas Tech.
Not
West
Kansas.
We played West Virginia.
Yeah, we played West Virginia as much as I
don't care about Kansas. We play Kansas State. I don't care about them. Iowa State, that'd be kind of fun.
That'd be kind of fun. But honestly, though, I want to play the Big Ten. I'd like to go on a tour of the Big Ten. Yes. 1 year play Iowa. We played Purdue in a bowl. I'd like to play
I'd love to play Nebraska.
Nebraska again would be good.
I'd love to play Michigan at home and home.
Michigan, absolutely. And I don't want to play Wisconsin anymore. I'm kind of tired of them. Indiana, meh. But who am I forgetting?
Michigan State would be fun.
Oh, Auburn and Michigan State just made to play each other. That would be a great game. Yeah, see? Minnesota get some revenge for that stupid bowl game. Yeah, I'd love to play the Big Ten. I think that would be the way I would want to go.
Longtime Big Ten power Maryland. Get a shot at that.
Oh, Andy, that was a funny thing. Andy's a Big Ten guy, and he was like, man, we got Maryland and Rutgers. What in the world? I said, I don't know what team you're speaking of. It's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, you said some team that starts with an R, but I don't know what that is. I had to explain the whole NC State thing, and it became Rutgers, and he thought that was pretty funny once I explained it. All right, I like this idea a lot. So so what conference – let's kind of nail this part down. I want to play the Big Ten. What conference would you want to play? This is my little –
I like the Big Ten. I'm in.
Okay. All right, big in on the Big Ten. All right. So let's do the draft thing and see how that goes. If it doesn't work, we can just pick, but –
Okay, so we're going to do a draft. You're going to go first, then me. Nope.
Okay.
And it's going to be, the choices are Penn State at home, Penn State and Auburn, mm-hmm. Cal away or home, Baylor home or away, UCLA home or away, Miami home or away.
Okay.
And again, the home games and away games are separate. And it's which game will you most be excited for?
Okay.
To either walk in the stadium, you, Van Plexico, will be most excited to either walk in the stadium and see it or turn to the TV and watch that matchup.
Yeah, I'm glad you're setting the criteria because, like, I'm excited about Cal just because I want to go out there and see my nephew and just check out San Francisco. I've never been and all that. But I'm not sure that I'm most excited about playing Cal either way compared to some others. You know what I mean? But it's still a pretty cool matchup because we never really play them.
But,
so,
but that matters. The playing in a cool location part matters. So,
all right, with the first pick in the future non-conference game draft, and I'm gonna get my little notepad file here so I can write them down. I'm gonna select Miami away.
Ooh.
Miami in Hard Rock Stadium or whatever stadium they play in now, where we just had the Formula One race.
Yes, that's where they play.
That was awesome. Oh, that'd be awesome.
That was a good pick. I like it. All right. That's a big one. I'm going to say Penn State at home.
There you go. Well, that's certainly a big game.
I'm going to ask you this question now. Biggest home non-conference game since?
Oh, Penn State at home is the biggest since?
Now, I'm asking you. It's the biggest home non-conference game since
USC,
Southern Cal?
USC 2003, yeah.
I think it is. It's, again, 20 years almost ago since we had a non-conference game
that's
big at home.
That's the first one
I picked it.
That's the first one comes to my mind because it would be like a big name brand, top 20 program historically in Jordan-Hare and – the ones we've been playing the last 20 years have been Clemson and Clemson and Clemson. And
again, we played Kansas State and Central Florida.
Yeah, this is I think it's biggest since USC.
West Virginia.
West Virginia was one, in 2009, yeah. I think, and we've had a couple of them where we didn't even play them at home. We played them in Atlanta.
Or neutral site,
Or neutral site. So playing it in Auburn, I think it's USC. And that USC was the biggest one since...
Texas?
You're pulling these things out. You're doing great. It might be Texas in 87.
Was that the upper deck opening? Or
yes.
The second upper deck opening? Yeah.
I was at that game, yeah.
It's big.
It is big. It is a big game. You're right. All right, so I've got Miami away. You've got Penn State at home. All right, I'm trying to keep track of these. So with my second pick, you know, I'm going to see if I can get a one and a get something with this. I'm actually going to take UCLA at home. I think that's
UCLA
really,
in Auburn.
Yes, UCLA in Auburn.
I mean, it'll be a great jersey matchup, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And it's big. And it's, again, it's a non-conference team from California.
I mean, I could have taken Miami at home, but I've already got Miami away. And I just feel like UCLA coming into Auburn is kind of a bigger deal. I think that's good. So that's why I'm going to take UCLA.
I like it. I'm going to take UCLA away.
All right.
With my second pick. Just because I agree. I think that's it's a big series. And us in L.A., you know,
it'd
be nice.
Do you remember when we played USC home and away, Alabama was playing UCLA home and away?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we both lost both games, Auburn and Alabama. I know they lost at least one, and we lost both. So I think that we both lost both, which is we don't like state of Alabama football teams getting pushed around by state of California football teams. That just that rubs us the wrong way. But that's what happened. All right. So let me see. With my third pick, I'm going to have to take Cal away.
Yeah.
Because
that's a big one.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'm just going to, even if it's just for personal reasons, that just seems like a very fun trip, fun matchup out there in Berkeley, Golden Bears. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's definitely the best. That was the best one. I'm going to pick Miami at home.
Yeah, I think that's a good.
Because when they come through the tunnel, you know, that's going to be fun. It's going to be Kings. That game's going to be intense. If it's a night game, an ESPN or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's got to be like a 7 o'clock Central ESPN, dark Jordan hair. They'll be in those white with the orange pants.
Yep.
Oh, man. Yeah. And if it's at Auburn first, and I don't know, it seems like we've been playing all these away and then home.
I will check. Keep going.
It seems like because Penn State was away and now home, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how it's set up, is that we play at and then in Auburn. So
again, we're talking about the distant, hazy future.
Yeah.
We play at Miami in 2029. Home to Miami in 2030. That'll be episode 6,437 of the White Rocket Podcast.
There will be players in that game that are going into sixth grade this fall.
There you go.
I think that's right. Yeah. I just want revenge on Miami for 83 and 84. We owe Miami so much, and I think that's the only time we've ever played them was that 84 kickoff classic, wasn't it? As far as I know, it's the only time.
Yes.
I mean, we might have played them back in the 50s or something when it was no big deal. But they weren't who they were. Yeah, in the modern era since Schnellenberger, we've only played them that one time, and that was Jimmy Johnson's first game. Isn't that crazy? Jimmy Johnson's first game as a Miami coach was when we played them. All right, let's see what's left. We've taken six off the board, and there's 9.
There's three left. What's left is
Baylor.
Cal and Auburn and Baylor home or away.
I think the least attractive of all of those to me is Baylor at home. So do I want Baylor in Waco or do I want Cal in Auburn? I've already got Cal away.
My opinion, the least attractive of those three is Cal at home, just because I think they're going to be not a good team. Baylor won the Big 12 last year.
Yeah.
So and as long as Aranda is there, I think they're going to be a good team. That'll be a good matchup. Cal, I think, again, I like having a non-conference team you can push around. I think they're not going to be great. But
I've already got Cal away. So to continue mixing it up a little bit, I'm going to take Baylor at home.
All right, I like it.
All right, now you got Cal at home or Baylor on the road?
I'm going to take Baylor away just because I think that'd be, again, it's an Auburn game in Texas. We play some games in A&M, but it's a different side in Texas and a non-conference game in Texas, and it could be good.
So the one that doesn't get chosen is Cal at home. But I'm still excited about that game. I mean,
I'm
looking forward to having them come in. So let's see. I've got Miami in Hard Rock Stadium, if it's still standing then, UCLA in Auburn, Cal in Berkeley, and Baylor in Jordan-Hare. You've got Penn State in Auburn, UCLA in LA, Miami in Auburn, and Baylor in Waco. That's not bad. Who do you think's got the better deal there?
I think it's pretty even. I think we did pretty well there.
I think we did a good job. That was good. Yeah, I'm glad we did it that way. So let's throw that out to the our listeners and patrons. From what we just went through, which did John get the better deal or did I get the better deal? I'm just curious what people think.
And is there a game that you think we undervalued or undersold?
Yeah, I might even put that on Twitter and just see what people say there too. But we can address that next week and just see kind of what people think about it. That was good. That was a very good idea that you had. I congratulate you on your quick thinking. All right. Very, very quickly, we have...
This is the USFL Report.
The Birmingham Stallions won again. I didn't get to see it. I was away in Chicago, but Birmingham won again, and the Stallions are now the only undefeated team in the United States Football League.
This has been the USFL Report.
Please clap.
I apologize for the verbosity of that update. That's like the longest update I've ever done on one of these, but I just wanted to point out that the Stallions are doing really good. They won. So they
want to really deliver the message.
Yeah, their coach is Skip Holtz. He's just dominating the United States Football League. Who'd ever thought it? I'm sure that when he first went into coaching years ago, following his father's footsteps, I'm sure that Lou said, "You know, kid, if you play your cards right, one day you can dominate the USFL."
I was going to say former Louisiana Tech coach Skip Holtz.
Ah, but they're killing it. They've got a quarterback that's pretty good. Actually, they played a backup this weekend, and they got a really good receiver. They got a really good all-purpose guy that kind of gets them a bunch of yards, so that's good. Let's see. So you have the football position group review for this week. I do not have a sound effect for that, so... I throw it to you.
I'm trying to think of what the sound effect would be. We're going to talk about the defensive line this week. Maybe it would be like, maybe it would be the Who singing like, "Who are you?"
Who? It could very well be, yeah.
So we're going to talk about the defensive line, and there's a lot to talk about here. And we're going to start with the bad news, which is who are all the players that left in this position? And I had to go back and look because I didn't remember. God,
good grief. Yeah. Brace yourself because here it comes, man. Good Lord.
All right. Ian Matthews, big recruit last year, is at Missouri. Fan favorite on this podcast, J.J. Pegues, back at Ole Miss.
I miss Peguez. Dang it.
And if he stars at tight end there, Van's going to be very unhappy.
I'm going to I'll swear off Kentucky Fried Chicken for a year if the Colonel make something out of him that we didn't do. That makes me so mad.
Lee Hunter, who is a big-time defensive line recruit last year out of the Mobile area, is at Central Florida.
Well, there's a shock. Yeah, all these players going to... We've become... Isn't it funny how South Florida was the Auburn pipeline and now Auburn has become the Central Florida pipeline?
It is funny.
The tables have turned, my friend.
Daniel Foster Allen is at South Alabama.
That seems like a step down to me.
It is.
Call me crazy, but transferring from Auburn to South Alabama.
But I think their program is building, and he wasn't going to play here. I think he realized that. He's like, I can play there.
I got to be honest, though. You know, all of these guys that you have listed that left, to me, they all traded down. It's not like any of them went to Georgia or Alabama or Oklahoma. You know what I mean? They went to like South Alabama and Central Florida and Liberty and crap. I mean.
Yeah. Dre Butler went to Liberty. Now, you're right. I think some of it was we had so much depth and talent at that position that a lot of guys felt like, I'm not going to get to play.
And so everybody left, and now we don't have any depth at that position. Good guys.
So now we'll talk about who is remaining.
Who is remaining?
And then we'll talk about the new guy. So, again, we play a 3-4. So we're, again, we're purely only talking about the defensive line. We're not talking about the edge outside linebacker types tonight.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So the pure defensive linemen that are left, Colby Wooden, who's a junior, he's a star. Yeah. Marcus Harris, who's a junior, solid player, very good. Marquise Burks is a senior, good player, solid, not a great, rare but senior. Solid.
Mm-hmm.
Zacavius Walker, a junior, you know, a depth player. Marquise Robinson was a big recruit last year who went into the portal and took himself out. He did the left foot in, you know, left foot out thing in the portal, and he's back, so that's good, actually.
Yeah, go ahead, have that.
Tobichi Okoli is a freshman that we recruited last year that's, you know, red shirt. So those are the guys we have back. And we play three guys. We have six guys in the returning depth chart right now. Okay. Now, and then we have, you know, three new players coming in. Jeffrey Imba, who's the, you know, the French. JUCO defensive lineman we signed, who I think is going to be a good player. He's going to be able to contribute this fall. He's a big, strong, athletic guy. I think he'd play. And then Jason Jones is the guy that transferred from Oregon. He's only a sophomore.
Yeah.
And he is the largest Auburn player ever.
Wow. He's, that shocked me when you put those numbers up there.
He's 6'7", 340.
It's like Oregon is higher up in the air now than it was when he was in the state of Oregon. He's not mooshing the state down as much as he was.
No. He is a large human being.
Wow.
So, I think he and Imba will both be able to play this year and make a difference.
I would think so, yeah.
Again, so that helps a lot with the depth. And then we got a guy named NC Sledge, who is a true freshman, who's a nose tackle type. Again, we play a 3-4. They want more of a pure nose kind of type. And he's that kind of guy, a big kind of a plugger guy in the middle. Mm. So, that's where we are at defensive line. We're going to need some more, you know, guys next year, because I think Wooden is good enough to go pro next year if he has a good season, and Burks is a senior, so I think we're definitely going to want, you know, a couple more, you know, good solid impact players. And the good news for us is there's a lot of really good defensive line recruits in the state of Alabama next year, so we don't have to get all of them, we just have to get a couple.
Yeah, well, that's promising. So all right, so yeah, I mean, obviously Colby Wooden's going to get a lot of action. Marcus Harris, and then...
Marcus Harris, again, transferred from Kansas, so my expectations were not high, but he was a good player last year. He made plays, and he was solid, productive when he was in the game. You know, I think Burks, again, is a solid player. Walker's a solid player. I think Imbon Jones can be, you know, good, disruptive guys, you know, I think Imba can be a guy that, like Harris and Wooden, that moves around to different spots and makes plays. So I feel like we got to guys. Again, depth is still a concern here, right? Because I only listed, nine guys? So that's not a ton for an SEC team. We only play three at a time, so that's three deep. Mm-hmm. But that includes, like, two redshirt freshmen who haven't played at all and a true freshman. So those guys are your third team. All your second team guys are going to play every game, and those third team guys are going to play some.
That's right.
So you got to be ready.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel too terrible about it, especially like you say, since the edge will be a separate position, and there's just only going to need three, and we've got quite a few. So it still was weird to have a mass exodus, but it could have been worse, I guess. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how these guys can stack up. So next time we're going to look at the linebackers.
Yeah, so we'll do the inside linebackers, and then we'll do the outside edge linebackers.
Sounds good. All right. Well,
one thing before we get away about Chandler Wooten and how good he was.
Mm-hmm.
Colby Wooten and how good he is.
Him too?
Chandler Wooten was a linebacker. Colby Wooten is the defensive lineman we're talking about. Right. He was in the top five in the team in tackles, sacks, and tackles for a loss last year. So that to me just shows like a really active player. I think he's the leading returner in tackles on the team, and in sacks just behind Derek Hall. So,
mm. And we got Derek Hall back too, by the way. So
yeah, oh yeah. We'll again, that's a position where we got where we have good starters coming back, but we need some depth pieces. So
yeah, okay. Before we get to our last couple of segments, we have a guess the game. We have some listener questions, presumably. We have a well, what if proposed from Richie. But before we do that, though, we have to thank our patrons. We do not do advertisements on this show. You don't have to listen to ads. We just thank the great folks that keep our program going. If you want to join their ranks and get to do the neat stuff like that, we did the bowl pick'em, we did the March Madness, and we are doing Fantasy Formula One right now. Go to www.auwishbone.com, www.auwishbone.com, and click on the big orange button to become a patron. Just go to patreon.com and look for AU Wishbone or White Rocket. Which reminds me that, and it slipped my mind, there was, our basketball book is coming out later this year. Patrons, if everything goes according to plan, patrons will be able to get it early, as in middle summer, somewhere in like middle of July, hopefully. That's the plan right now. It'll go out to the general public a bit later on. So if you want to get a first crack at getting the basketball book that John and I have been working on for months and months, then sign up, become a patron, and you can be right in there on the fun for that. And of course, we will put the names of all the patrons as of the printing, the publication of that book in the book. We had two whole pages, double columns, of patrons we thanked for We Believe Volume 1 last year. So there, those people's names are in that book forever. And you get to be in the book if you become a patron before the middle of July when it gets published. So there you go. There's your big chance. All right. We have to thank the following fantastic folks. There is Samuel Salvatore, Carl Von Drunker, Dr. Crackham, Bradley Blackman, Chris and Clinton Stewart, Daniel Odom, Gary Grant, a.k.a. AU Fan at KSC. And by the way, remember, you can put your messages in the, you can put your message that'll, if it'll fit, in the name that you use on here, and I read it. It's always Hate Week, says Logan Chilton. That's good, because I was playing the Hate Week sound effects the last couple of weeks. Matthew Flowers, Michael Kirshner, Phil Amthor, Richard Stevens, Steve Trawick, Susan Trawick, Trombone Tiger, Willie Carden, 116 days until football, 182 days until basketball, says Rusty. Way to go. Good math there. I hadn't figured that out, but it sounds good. Ann Kangian, Ben Bloodworth, Bruce Isn't Harsin' Around. Can we listen to some RoboGus reruns during the off-season? I actually got an audio file of some RoboGus from Jared, but I didn't have a chance to talk with John about doing it, so let's schedule like a little RoboGus feature maybe next week. All right, when we have more time, we can kind of work that one in. I'll let him fit that one into the schedule if he wants to. Let's see. Oh, Chris and Clinton Stewart, please clap.
Please clap.
There we go. Chris Thrash, Clay Henson, Dan Thompson, David Hegler, Earl Ricks, Eric Morgan, Bobby, George Gaston. I am a failure. I will have adult grandchildren before the insulation goes in. God, Bob, come on. That's just mean, man. That's just mean. I need to get that line from Payback with Mel Gibson where James Coburn says, when he shoots the luggage, where Mel Gibson shoots the nice alligator skin luggage, and James Coburn goes, man, you shot my luggage. That's just mean. Jacob and Robin Fleming, John Otsuki, Catherine England, Kevin Smith, Mickey B, Old Mrs. Miracle Medical Staff, Algo Rhythm and Blues, Paul Miles, Phil Davis, Reynolds Wolf, Rich Reimer, Sarah Brown, Steve Harlan. Thank goodness for Win Carroll because... Come on, man. You guys are killing me. Oh, I'll do it again. Thank goodness for Win Carroll because...
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door.
That's true. These are facts. Theodore Geary, War Eagle Always, Warhammer 6. Hey, I like the Warhammer. WDE Richie. Just two little country kids outside misbehaving. See how that is? How easy that is? You can have your own message or your own sound effect. That's pretty sweet. You get a nice deal on here, on this here program. Wes Atkinson, William Morgan, Wilson Beard. I have a feeling that some of these folks are just like, what are they doing? Some people really get a kick out of it, and some are like, oh, come on, just get to my name. Winston Boddy, a retired Kim E. in Galveston, AU Wishbone Bracket Challenge champion Patrick Williams, heck yeah, Auburn Blue Blake Heron, Auburn Bowl Pick'em champion Boris the Tiger, Brandon Smith, Carter Glaus, Cato the Barner, Colby Butler, Corey Smyer, Darris Benton, David Simpson, Die Bama, Helping Van Upgrade His Insulation. Oh, I got two people going at me now. Hugh Anderson, Josh Teal, Kevin Kenoy, Kevin Mahan, Lane Middleton, Melissa Blackstone, Mike Finley, Papa Todd, Randall Walker, Rob Morgan, Russell Milling, Sarah Hines, Sasquatch, Shane Bailey, Shannon Butson, Snowdog, Stephen Houston, Tim Pittman, Timothy, Tony Perry, Weagle 87. Mark always lets me insert my favorite soundboard audio, and I usually just kind of pick one we haven't done in a while, so here's one everybody loves.
I got great news for you.
Auburn beat Alabama by 12 points.
No, this is important, honestly.
Yeah, that's a good one. Can't beat the old Ocean's 11 with Frank Sinatra and Angie Dickinson. Let's see. AJ Herman, insert I'm a Man, I'm 40. I think somebody sent me that, and I still don't have it on the soundboard. Let me do it again. I'm a man. I'm 40. All right, how's that? There you go. I'm working on it, AJ. I apologize. Alex Wynn, Ben Amos, Ben Riggis, Brian Albanese, Sebron, Charles Mooney, Chris Como, Colonel Dad, Construction Tiger, and finally, Daniel Barnett, Elizabeth Donald.
We got to get better at celebrating.
Yeah, I want early access to the basketball book. Well, amen. I want folks to want it, and we're going to get it to you. I'll buy this for $1. I need to get that sound clip off of RoboCop. James Taylor, Jason the Weasel Skull Elric, Jeremiah Schumann, John Samuel Schenker, Jingleheimer Schmidt, John Stubbs, John Zavachin, John Soundboard, Joey Miller, Joseph Iliff, JT Jarhead, Justin Bean, Kenneth Brent Rains.
Someone knows. God knows.
AKA Auburn Dad for Life. Loving Auburn means you have to, apparently.
Smoke weed every day.
I don't write the rules, people. I just report them. Mark Squire, MVP, captivating Kathy Bright. I mentioned something to Kathy last week, and now I've forgotten what it was, and she replied back cryptically. And so, Kathy, now I'm... I didn't know what you were replying to. I was so confused. It may be that I challenged you to come up with a soundboard clip, wasn't it? That probably is what it was. If it wasn't, then that's what I do now. Paul Bankson, please remind me of co-host name John Ringer name clip. Oh, do we have a name? Oh, yeah, hold on. Crap, where did it go? I have it. Oh, man, what did I do with it? Oh, no, I know where it is. I'm sorry. I'm juggling 15 chainsaws at the same time when I do this. And I forgot that we did that. And I don't know what I did with it. Oh, man, the show comes to a screeching halt because I don't know what I did. Yeah, there the show went off the rails. You just heard it. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Please remind me of the co-host name.
What is your name? John Ringer. What kind of a name is Ringer?
Well, I'm adopted. I spent most of my life in institutions.
Doesn't surprise me. You look like a typical low-life character to me.
There you go.
That's it.
I'm sorry. I know I really screwed all that up, but I think I kind of got it back together at the end. So I'm hopefully made up for my terrible mistake at the beginning. All right. Robert Drain, Royce Alvarez, Russell Souther, Ruth and Darren Sutherland, Spanky, having trouble with my bracket. Who knows?
Someone knows. God knows.
Man, I get a lot of mileage out of that clip. Sports Illustrated's Auburn Elvis, Stephen Thompson, the Slinko family. This name is brought to you by Bubba's Discount Tire and Tax Services, Trevor Johnson, TV's Darren Pyle, I like that, Brant Rumble, and Chris, plus our one-time and anonymous donors. Well, I apologize. That one took about an hour to get through just because I made some mistakes there and couldn't find what I was looking for, but we made it through.
I think every single patron should suggest the I'm John Ringer quote.
Oh, God, we'd be here all night. Oh, my gosh. We would be here. It'd be a long show. I do want to give a very, 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 very quick update on our Fantasy Formula One League because we did have a race yesterday in the Miami Grand Prix. Daniel O is in first place with 1192. Eric M with Scuderia Aguila de Guerra, 1079. John's eldest is in third place with 1035. Coming, just hanging in there good. Eric M is also in fourth place with 995. And I am in fifth place, 973. And your daughter's other team is right behind me at 965. So, and John is currently, your highest ranked team is...
ninth.
Yeah, there you are, number nine. Yeah, so very good. And my other team is at 11. Alan's highest rated team is number 12, so he's not having a great year. And Mira's all the way down at 14. So this has just been a really weird Formula One year. This just
the fact
very
that I'm
strange.
Ahead of Alan is still crazy.
Yeah, well, there you go. This has just been one of those years because there's been a lot of did not finish. Right, there's been a lot of DNFs, and that throws it all off. And plus with the Mercedes being down. All right, so we are now to guess the game. Are you ready for guess the game?
Bring it on.
Here we go. Who can
be now? Hello, Van, John, the rest of the AU Wishbone family. This is Jared Albrick, the yard sale artist, here with guess the game number 51. Guess the Game 51 is brought to you by listener Logan Chilton. And let's see what Logan has for us on this Guess the Game.
Stop at a minimum of three, or they were in hurt, and they are in hurt right now. 51 seconds and down to 50. Reverses it out, throws the ball to loses the football. Auburn recovers at the 33. The football.
All right, gentlemen, I will see you in the hint file.
All right. I had my microphone off. I know what it is. Okay. I was there. I was there, and I said beep when that happened. Do you know?
I don't know for sure. I have some ideas. I believe that was Ron Franklin.
That was definitely Ron Franklin. So it was a night game. Yep.
An older home night game.
Yeah. Depending on how you define older, yeah. 90s.
Yeah, 90s. Again, not a recent game.
Right.
I think it was either the, I think it was the Alabama game where they were winning and they threw the swing pass to the guy and he fumbled and we recovered late in the game. The fullback dropped it.
Ed Sism.
I think that's the play.
And I think it was Martavius Houston was involved in that, wasn't he? I think that's right.
I'm not sure, but I that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking is that the 97 Iron Bowl, where it resulted in us going to the SEC championship game for the first time. Well, of course, we would have been there in 93, but we were on probation. Yes. But actually getting to go was 97 with Damian Craig. And yeah, that I'm pretty sure that was when Alabama rolled out through the little pass. To this day, I never have understood the complaints. We've talked about this before. In fact, I think we talk about it in We Believed. I've never understood the complaints about that being a pass and not a run because it was a fumble. It wasn't the pass that was the problem.
I think the complaint was they didn't need to pass.
Yeah.
That if they'd have run the ball, they could have won the game. And instead, they threw a pass to a guy who didn't catch a lot of passes.
Yeah.
And he dropped it and we've got it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe so. Well, in any case, I think that's what it is. Let's hear the hint, and then we can
Here we are on the hint file. Let's get rid of some bleeps and see what you can come up with.
Stop at a minimum of three, or they were in hurt, and they are in hurt right now. 51 seconds and down to 50. Kitchen reverses it out, throws the ball to Sism, loses the football. Auburn recovers at the 33.
Interesting indeed.
I will see you in the answer file.
Yeah, I think Houston hit him and Quentin Reese recovered. Yeah.
Freddie Kitchens,
Freddie,
quarterback.
My favorite rooms are kitchens.
who later went on to be the offensive coordinator and for a brief period, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns.
That just is insane.
You got that right.
Crazy. All right, here's the answer.
All right, John, Van, if you guys figured out that this was Alabama coughing up the ball to allow us to win the Iron Bowl in 1997,
yes.
Well, then you guessed correct. Thanks again to Logan Chilton for sending that in and doing the legwork by including the video and telling me what timestamp to go to. That was very nice. Helpful. If you'd like to be helpful like Logan, you can send me your Guess the Game suggestions. I am at Yard Sale Artist. Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram is all at Yard Sale Artist, or you can email me directly. I am Jared, that's J-A-R-R-O-D, at theyardsaleartist.com. And until next time, Van and John, whoa.
All right, so we did well. That's good. We knew it.
You were ready for that one.
Well, I was there, and that just burned into my conscience. I'm sure I've seen the video, but you know, right with Ron Franklin, which is just the best. But yeah, I was going bananas. And when we kicked that field goal, I was just screaming myself hoarse at the Alabama fans around me. It was so glorious. It was so good. All right, let's see. The only thing left for me to do, we do have a little extra sub-segment of this, but we have...
Thank you. Order questions to the Prime Minister.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Come on. Come on, man.
All right, so I know with Richie, good old Richie Butler has sent us another what if that's pretty cool, but what do you have in the question file otherwise?
That's all we have, but before I read his question, this is what I want to say. Thinking about what you said about that Alabama game, the Ed Sisson game, the other thing that was still a huge deal was that was only the fourth time, right, we had played Alabama in Jordan-Hare.
Yeah.
We played him in 89. We did not play him in 91.
Nope.
We played him in 93
yep.
and 95.
Yep, and we won all
of them. So 97 was the fourth time. Mm-hmm. So it was and it looked like they were going to beat us.
For the first time.
So that was a huge thing.
It beat Alabama, number one. It beat Alabama in Auburn, number two. It kept our undefeated streak against them alive in Auburn, number three. And it sent us to the SEC championship game, number four. So there was just so much on the line.
A game that really meant something.
Yeah. Terry Bowden. Say what you will about Terry Bowden. He never lost to Alabama in Jordan-Hare. He went 3-0. 3-0. 3-0 against Alabama in Jordan-Hare. Our first loss to Alabama in Jordan-Hare was Tommy Tuberville, 1999. I was there for that one, too. Oof. I was so mad. Godly. Good God, I was mad for that game. All right. So Richie proposed, I guess, week before last, I forget which, that we have a segment of what if where we take some moment from the past and talk about what if it had gone differently or if we'd done it differently. And we thought that was pretty intriguing. So what he came up with this time, do you want to address, since this is kind of your segment?
So he said, what if Gus Malzahn ran the ball in the 2013 National Championship game like we did in the SEC championship game?
Good God.
I've always thought Gus heard all the chatter that we couldn't throw the ball. All we do is run. I think he took it personally. Up to that point, we just wore teams down, running the ball straight at them and wore them out. We came out throwing the ball in that game and really took away our game plan that had been working all season.
Oh, the game plan of Trey Mason gets 300 yards rushing. Yeah, I mean, I get the sense... To be fair, I get the sense that we probably thought that their defensive line, like Alabama's to a degree, they had a really good couple of defensive linemen, could stop us, and we needed to throw the ball some.
They had a great defense with a lot of really good players on it. And I think people forget, I think just some revisionist history, that was supposed to be one of the greatest college football teams ever.
Yes.
People have forgotten that now because Auburn should have won that game.
Mm-hmm.
But that they talked up that Florida State game for weeks leading into that championship game. Like, they were one of the best teams ever. Their defense was really good. Had a lot of, All-Americans and NFL players on it. And they were a tough matchup. And so I get they were fast and they were strong at the point of attack. So I get not lining up and running straight at them every play. However... there's a little bit of revisionist history here. We did throw 27 passes in that game, okay, which is a lot, not the most in the season. But once we discovered kind of who we were as a team at the LSU game, it was tied for the most with the Georgia game, okay? In terms of rushing...
That was the prayer in Jordan Hare.
Yeah. It, we ran the ball 53 times in this game. But that's, again, the same amount we ran against... it's one more than we ran against Alabama. It's a couple less than Georgia. Same number we ran at Tennessee in that game.
What about Missouri? It felt like we ran about 175 times against Missouri. And got
74 times. Yeah. So... but again, the difference is we only average, 4.4 yards a carry against Florida State. And I think, W.D. Richie's point is we would have worn them down. If we had run more early, we'd have broken some more in the second half. And I don't know, because that Florida State team was deep and talented and fast. And I think, I would put them again. It was like running the ball. We had more success running the ball against Alabama than we did against them. So... I think some was they were just a tougher matchup, and they wanted us to throw the ball. We didn't take full advantage of it, but it's a good question. If we had thrown the ball a few less times and run the ball a few more times, could we have worn them out and then run the clock out at the end when we were winning? Maybe.
Well, let's remember, there were like three plays that just completely made that game. There was the we missed a wide open receiver for a touchdown the first quarter, didn't we? And we were still leading them 21-6 or something at halftime or something ridiculous right before halftime. But we missed a wide open receiver that would have been a touchdown. We allowed them to run a kickoff back or a punt back, right, for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And, of course, if we knocked that last pass down, so there's – and then, of course, if Trey Mason runs that kickoff back at the very end of the game that he almost did. So that game was just full of, just one little play here or there completely changes the outcome. And what I wish is that we could have kept doing to them what we were doing in the first half, and it had been one of those games, like think about when Florida with Spurrier played Nebraska that year, and everybody said, oh, Florida's going to blow Nebraska off the field. It's not even going to be close. Florida's just going to kill them. And Nebraska ran over them like a steamroller and crushed them. And that would have been kind of the same thing. Everybody was talking about how great Florida State was, and we would have just run over them and beat them 42-6 or something. That would have just been so, it doesn't happen that way for us. We're used to that. But think how great it would be not only to win the national championship and not only to do it by beating Florida State and one of the greatest teams ever, but just beat the snot out of them in the national championship game. Man, we would be able to just – Florida State couldn't say a word to us. They just couldn't – they could not speak to us right now. All these years, they just had to keep their mouths shut because they could. All we have to do is just say, the score of that game, 42-6. They'd be like, yeah, never mind. I'm going to go talk to a Florida guy.
No, I think it's a good point. It is really, it's tough. That was, again, all these years later, that game hurts.
It's the worst. It's number one. You can have your 85 Iron Bowl that hurts so bad when I was in high school. You can have the LSU game in 88 that we've talked about forever, the 83 Texas game, a number of Iron Bowls, including the last one. But I think that Florida State game is the worst. That's the one that if I could go back and change one game, it would be that. I don't think there's any doubt. Because that team deserved it after everything they accomplished. I was going to ask you this. Do you remember what Rhett Lashley said after the game about the offense? He said we could have done whatever we wanted against them on offense. He was mad that we lost, but he was also mad that we didn't score a lot more points because he said he felt like we had them and could do whatever we wanted, and for some reason it just didn't work out, as football goes. That's how football goes. It bounces funny and all, but
yeah.
So
no, it's true. We should have scored more points.
Absolutely. Well, and drop that empty, that wide open pass would have won the game, would have won the national championship for us. I don't guess we have any SEC news tonight. Anything of note?
No. No, we're in the depths of the off season. Nobody transferring, no big coaching shakeup news right now. So,
yeah. I did see that Harsin.
I was going to throw the ACC is. The SEC meetings are not that far away in the summer. the ACC is having their off-season meeting like the SEC does, and they throw it on the table, you know, not pods, but they're kind of everybody has three permanent opponents and then plays a rotating thing. They're talking about that option.
Well, they're kind of that's kind of pods.
Well, it's pods if they're all the same. But if we have three and Alabama has a, you know, three, and they're one of our three, but our other two are like Georgia and Mississippi State, and their other two are Tennessee and, you know, Ole Miss or whatever, then.
Okay. I take your word for it because I don't fully understand it myself, but I believe you. I was going to say, Harsin was going to drive the pace car at Talladega. Did he already do that?
He did.
And did it go all right? He didn't wreck it or anything?
He did not wreck.
Okay. I've seen pace cars suddenly spin off and go right into the wall at tracks before, so I take nothing for granted as far as – I think that was at the race we were at last year in Granite City, the IndyCar race. They brought out, like, the really nice Corvette pace car, and it went straight into the wall. And they had to stop the race because it just – dude, like, hit something slick, and he just lost the rear end, and it went straight in the wall, yeah.
You think you can handle a car like that, and some people can't. So.
No, not everybody. All right. Well, there you go. There's a show. We're going to get on out of here for another week, and next time we'll talk about linebackers, and next time we'll have Robo Gus on the agenda, and I just forgot about it and didn't get it all set up right, but we appreciate Jared putting that together. And all right, so I guess any final thoughts?
I have to say, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
There you go.
Thinking about them.
And some of our listeners are real mothers, so I hope they get it. In every sense of the word. All right, our time is up. We thank you for your Wargill, John.
Breaker man.
Thanks for listening to the AU Wishbone. Find links to everything we do at www.auwishbone.com. For more Auburn fun, join us on Twitter at @AUWishbone and at facebook.com/AUWishbone. War Eagle.
The AU Wishbone is produced by Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer. Copyright 2020.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone podcast.